You're listening to the Incomparables Total Party Kill podcast, in which a group of friends play Dungeons & Dragons on the internet for your amusement. This is episode number 360, Dragonforge & Associates Season 5, Episode 4, recorded July 2021, posted August 2022. Kiss me, I'm Irmbrusk.
Welcome back to Total Party Kill. It's me, Tony Sindelar, a Dungeon Master. Today we are playing Dragonforge and Associates. That's right, one of the original Total Party Kill adventures, one that many people have said has gone too far, outlived its humorous or compelling intents, and should die.
Is this just you saying this now, Tony? Because I
haven't heard this. I thought people liked it. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, people like it. I don't care for them or that.
People say it's a big pile of poop and to just shut up.
I think what you meant to say, Tony, is adventure we've been doing so long, people now say, are you still doing that? I don't read a judgment about the quality of it. I just think it's been going on forever.
We did start the adventure in fourth edition. It's that long ago, and people did complain that they would never listen to a fourth edition podcast, which was funny. And presumably those people, as soon as we switched to fifth edition, came running back.
Yep.
I assume that I'm sure checking in every episode to see what edition we were using. But we are continuing our adventure. This is, I believe, Season 4, Chapter 4, whatever Jason labels the podcast files.
It is.
Erica, where they are finally piecing together all the information and looking for Rutherford Irmbrusk. And at the end of our very last session, recorded several months ago, you did find Rutherford Irmbrusk. He was in a very strange state, planted on a throne, repeating over and over again, "Doom!" Through the combined power of remove curse and possibly force feeding him a good berry, he seemed to snap into alertness. But before we check in on Rutherford Irmbrusk, allow me to introduce our players. They will introduce their characters, and then we will play some Dungeon or Dragon. First up, it's Erica Ensign. Hi, Erica.
Hello. I am back to play Flessa, the very small, very human, very stabby, simple rogue.
It's true. Next up, it's Jason Snell.
Hello, I am playing Peter Dragonforge. He is a young paladin, not maybe as idealistic as he was when this all started, those many weeks ago in playtime.
7 years ago.
Yeah.
But still, he is he's always raring to go, and he loves Bahamut.
Also joining us, it's everyone's favorite Monty Ashley.
Hello, I am playing Melek, a tiefling sorcerer.
I thought Monty might be uncertain if he was going to be our favorite Monty or not. Next up, it is Steve Lutz.
Hello there, Tony. How you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Say, do you know I'm playing an elf today? It's an elven ranger by the name of Alestrin.
Alestrin Quiverbottom, a name that stopped being funny 6.5 years ago.
No, I think it's come back around at this point.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
I'm impressed. So you're giving him 6 months of funny. That's
yeah, I thought that was charitable. Very generous.
That is my Dungeon Mastering style. Generous to a fault, or 6 months, whichever comes first. Next up, it's Sarah Barber. Hi, Sarah.
Oh, hi. I am playing Rispin, a dwarven cleric who tries to keep the party alive.
And
good job, I think.
Yeah, so far. I mean, no one has died yet, so that's, yeah. And last but certainly not least, everyone's favorite therapist and 12th favorite state, it's Georgia Dow.
12th favorite state. I'm playing Akrid, everyone's favorite dragonborn fighter and Bahamut's favorite as well. I'm sorry, Peter. I'm just going to be honest.
So much competition among the Bahamut people.
That's what motivates Peter to be a better paladin, is that he knows that jealousy, Bahamut could love him more than he does.
So, friends, you are here in this strange side passageway in Undermountain. There's a young man seated on a throne looking at you with kind of strange, quizzical expressions. He's somewhat choking on a good berry that Alestrin shoved into his mouth. What's next, people?
We're done, right? We found Rutherford. Let's leave. Let's go home and tell everybody about it.
We're done.
Are we snapping him out of it? What's happening here?
Had we figured out this was Rutherford yet?
He does have a shield with a what is the exact livery of House Rutherford? It's like a dagger stabbing into a fanged mouth. Honestly, I feel like that's overly complicated for livery, but
plus he's wearing a t-shirt that says "Kiss me, I'm an Urmbrusque."
Yeah, he's got green eyes, dark curly hair. Looks like he's 18 or 19. You could ask him. That's an option.
I'll just say Doom.
I mean, you haven't tried since using Remove Curse.
Riswin, Alestrin, you're right up there.
Is he okay? For answers to questions such as these, tune in next season for Total
Mix. No. All right, we've been on too long now. Now I'm on their side.
We're using a new micro episode format where each episode is only 2.5 minutes long.
Oh,
and
Tony, our deal with Quibi was canceled, unfortunately.
No more quick bites. It's only Libby's long bites.
Radio Zork's council called and wants some words with us.
Yeah. Oh no, so many lawyers. To play Rutherford Urmbrusque, please welcome to the podcast the one, the only, the available Dan Morin.
I knew there was one too many people here.
Did you also notice there's one person I hadn't introduced yet?
Yeah, I was
wondering that.
I hope I didn't get voted off the dungeon.
Not yet.
Dan, it's about time you got here. We've been looking for you for 7 years.
What's with all the doom?
Last we saw you, you were doing a terrible Foghorn Leghorn voice.
Hello there. I didn't see you come in. Who are you?
I'm Flessa, I say from the back of the room.
Hello, Flessa.
And I wave with a dagger in my hand. But friendly like.
Alestrin squats down and says, "Are you Rutherford Urmbrusque?"
Oh, yes, you've heard of me.
Yeah, we're here for you.
We were sent here by your Tony,
aunt?
Help me out here. Aunt?
Aunt. Or aunt.
Or aunt. Aunt. Where okay. Oh, yeah. I wasn't asking for a pronunciation question there, but okay.
Which aunt? Because there's some that I get along better than others with.
We can't tell.
Just a second.
Oh, okay.
My notes don't go back that far, sorry.
That was like 4 weeks ago or something? I don't know.
Seven years ago. Records from that era are incomplete.
Incomplete.
Okay, so why... I'm confused because I just sat down on this throne for a minute to take a load off of the hard work getting in here. And how were you sent for me then? I've only just... been in the dungeon a little while.
You've been missing for a while.
For some time.
Months.
Years?
I would say it's getting a better part of a year.
What is time? It's hard.
And you were not
7 years more than 7 weeks.
And I step forward and say, what you don't know is that you were not just sitting on this throne. You seemed to be magically enchanted in some way. It was...
Very
we had to snap you out of it.
I just
very
sat
cursed.
Down.
Bad chair.
You were cursed.
What is in my mouth?
Isn't it good?
We don't know.
That's your tongue, son.
Delicious.
I thought somebody put something in there.
It's a good berry. It's good, and it's a berry.
It's a good berry.
Yes, no, very, very good. Thank you.
You haven't eaten in several months. I recommend you swallow that. It'll provide a full day's worth of sustenance.
Oh, well. Okay.
So you're one for
Rutherford, you
60.
Are feeling weird. You did kind of blank on these people being in this room. You really just thought you sat down for a moment. And you do feel perhaps extremely, I mean, I guess you were tired. That's why you sat down. But it's almost like your body is screaming for nourishment as if you have just been sitting here in some kind of slumber without any food or water in, several months.
Maybe you should get out of that spooky chair.
Yeah, I'm a little cramped. It's been.
Do you need help?
That'd be great. Thank you. It's just you know.
Rizman's really good at letting people lean on her.
That's a
whoa! Now there's two of them.
Quite a chair.
Well, one of these will be controllable by Dan. One of them is not.
Ooh, which one though? I didn't see you when I came in, so I guess that makes sense. Did you have to go through all those crazy things to get here? There was a hall with some mirrors,
yes.
like There's some caves. Oh, yeah. Yes. That was tricky. That one was tricky.
Yes.
Was tricky. Yep. So found this room. It had some chairs. I was tired. I figured I might as well sit down, take a load off, and the next thing I knew, you were here. And
never trust the furniture.
It's true. That, yeah, or good statues.
Advice. Good advice.
I enjoy a good long sit on the throne, but several statues months is pretty epic.
Also, rugs. No reason. Anyways, yes. Well, you've been looking for me. You found me. This is wonderful. So now we can all go find my father.
Wait, so, what now?
What? We have to find another Rutherford?
Oh, no, another Urmbrusk.
Yeah, that's why I was... Yeah, well, there's only one Rutherford Urmbrusk, let me assure you.
Or are you a junior?
It's not a family name.
Well, no. I mean, my father is Lord Quarren Urmbrusk, so yes, different Urmbrusks. But yes, I've been looking for him. He came down here, 3 years ago, I think. I've been looking for him all this time.
Now it's 3 years and 3 months.
Oh, well... I can't imagine 3 months has made a huge difference if he's been gone for 3 years already. Anyways, yes, I'd be grateful if you could help me find him. I'm convinced he's still in here somewhere, and I would not be a good son if I did not find him.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he's still in here. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, let's go find him, shall we? Unless you want to sit down first. I don't recommend it.
Are you in any state to be... adventuring at this point? I mean, is he withered?
I assure you, I am in the best physical condition of my... He just falls over. He tries to get up.
You know, you can use me to lean.
Okay, thank you. Time. He just sort of like pulls himself back up like a wet noodle. I'm perfectly fine. I assure you, I'm ready. Let's have at.
Why do you think your dad's here? Like, here this particular spot.
Oh, I mean, it's hard to explain. I mean, don't laugh, because I know it seems...
I can't promise anything.
I have these dreams about him.
Sorry.
I asked for one thing. It was just one. It was one thing. Don't laugh. And he speaks to me in these dreams, and I think he must... be in Undermountain somewhere, because the dreams, they contain details about Undermountain, and how would he know them if he weren't here somewhere?
What details?
Well, I mean, some specific locations, such as some of the secret passageways or things like that. I had a dream about this sigil. It was right not long before I came to this room, which
the city of doors?
I guess was several months ago. No, not that sigil.
Oh, okay.
I owe a lot of people money in that sigil. Don't go there. It was a sort of a spiral, and the dreams led me to this carving, like a spiral sigil, and we camped there for a while. Oh, right. I was with people.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. They must be outside still.
Some of them are still alive.
Oh. Some of them?
We did find some that weren't, I think.
Oh.
Wow. I don't remember. I just assumed some of them died.
I think also you may have killed
dispatch
some.
Ourselves.
Oh, right.
Who's counting? Well,
Tony,
let's see.
Look, just Isle, eyeballing Rutherford here.
Let's just do a count here. Isle, dead. Czar, murdered by you?
By us, yes.
That's right.
By
that's
us.
Right. Well,
there was somebody
killed in self-defense.
Whose soul had been transferred into a metal casket.
I forget if you rescued them
eventually. Squam and Rottweil, I think things are fine with them. Where did you leave things with End of the Rogue?
Oh yeah, I think she was Enda.
She's gonna get out on her own.
That one, yeah.
I think she is
almost a positive encounter.
That is generous. Yeah, I think she's only alive because you didn't have a chance to kill her.
No, we gave her some of her loot and sent her on her way.
We actually gave her money.
We made her a deal, and it was fine.
Okay. Yeah.
There were too many urchins in Waterdeep
anyway.
Most of them are alive.
We'll say to Rutherford, Enda, we hung out with her for a little bit. She's the one who finally sent us this way. And then, although I have to say, I question some of your company, because some of your friends, I say some of your friends, were of questionable character.
Oh, that's a ridiculous accent. Who would do an accent like that?
Tony, if I'm just eyeballing Rutherford here, does he look like he's in any shape to be adventuring with us?
You know, I think now that the Goodberry is kicking in, he is like visibly with each passing second looking more and more hale and hearty.
So he's not withered in some state where it's going to take him several weeks to.
No, okay. I provided Dan with a step lock.
Right, yes, no, I am good to go. I'm hale, I'm hearty.
Now that I know he has a stat block, let's take him to the surface.
I'm afraid I can't go back to the surface until I find my father. It's the utmost importance.
Sure you can.
We were not hired to find your father.
Can I roll something to make like a medical assessment of him?
We were hired to find you, and we found you.
Yeah, we were hired to find you and bring you back.
If you would now like to hire us to find your father, that's fine. But we need to take you upstairs to make arrangements.
Nice.
What kind of resources do I have? Do I have any money?
Well, you are from a very rich family. You were the only heir, and in fact, perhaps that was I think adventures you would know from a thing I said 7 years ago. You were hired in part to basically bring Rutherford back alive or proof of his demise so that the Umbrooks family estate wouldn't be tied up in probate for years and years.
Oh, legal drama.
Yeah. Well, Lady Lestra Umbrook, Rutherford's aunt, does have a financial stake in getting Rutherford returned to the throne, not throne, but returned to the head of the house, and or proving that he's dead so she can inherit all the money.
Did she say we would get more money if we brought him back alive, or was it the same amount for proof of death or bringing?
Erica, before I answer that question, just alignment check.
I want to know. No, because if we get more money for bringing him back alive, I want to just like bring him back alive right now and get that extra money rather than going on some extra foolish quest that might get him killed and might get us less dough.
I think there was certainly, I don't think it was specified, but certainly a reward of more money was promised. You've continued to get kind of payments for each little piece of information you have returned. It is possible that Rutherford Umbrook himself has significant financial means, though some of that may be tied up in complications vis-a-vis, I don't know if she's, you know, it seems like possibly his aunt has been trying to have him declared dead. So...
Ah. Well, look at it this way. If you come with me and help me find my father, I can afford to pay you because the money you are currently getting paid is my money.
That's true.
And if I die along the way, you have proof of my death, so you get that too. So either way, it's a win for all of you. Except for the part where you might die because this place is really terrible.
We haven't
it's pretty
yet.
Bad.
So great. That's the best news I've heard all day. All right, shall we?
Yeah, we shall. Okay.
Peter?
Can I use that roll to make a medical assessment of Rutherford? Great.
Alestrin just shrugs.
I rolled a 16.
You know, he looks like he's doing better. Between your remove curse and the good berry.
That's a good berry.
It's almost like he was basically just trapped in time, and he's fine.
Aren't we all?
Remove curse. Okay. No, we're all dying every second.
So
could be trapped about that.
Yeah. Where your dad is, are there possibly shiny things?
Oh, well, I mean, there are shiny things all over this place, so I would imagine certainly there would
be
some.
I haven't seen a lot of evidence of that.
Rutherford, here's what you need to understand. We were hired by your aunt to do a job, which was to find you, which we've done now. If you would like us to help you find your father, we can do that, but adventuring is not cheap, and I would like to consider this an additional task for us to perform, aiding in finding proof of your father's demise or finding him alive if he still is alive. Would you be amenable to that? Would you agree to compensate us for joining you on your quest here? Because you're all alone in Undermountain. This is a bad place for you to be. So we can either take you back to the surface or we can join you if we come to an agreement.
Also, keep in mind, there's a fair number of your previous party that you no longer have to pay for your
I was just thinking this. As a matter of fact, it seems as though my expenses have decreased, if what you're saying is true, and perhaps I have a little spare capital with which I might entice you to join me and continue onward. But obviously, while I'm happy to fund our continued expedition, we must eventually, I assume, go up to the surface in order for you to collect, or else I will. Perhaps I can provide you or furnish you with a genuine note of credit or something.
Sign that can get on the you paid dotted line.
Now, if we do find your father, is that money no longer yours, and this deal is void?
Null and void.
That's why we need a contract. I don't know what a contract is, but I hear that word a lot.
Yeah. Did take one level of lawyer, so I can assure you. Oh.
Multi-class.
Rutherford,
I like it.
Say a number.
I like games. 7?
That's not a big enough number. Say a big number.
Oh, a big number. 1
that
trillion.
That represents how much gold you're going to give us.
Oh, yes. Now I'm picking up what you're putting down.
This guy is exactly what I expected he was going to be.
He's a little taller.
You're
That's
welcome.
It.
I have no idea. What were they getting paid before?
I believe in the order of magnitude, several hundred gold pieces. So I think we are
dealing. Is this an each thing?
I don't think so.
No. Wow, you guys work for cheap.
Oh, wait, no. Going back to my notes from 7 years ago, Dan, a generous reward might be in the neighborhood of 500 gold pieces each. That is probably that is a lot of money for these people who are not nobles. Yeah,
but
that
amortized over 7 years, it's far
within,
less attractive.
Within your spending. So
okay, so 3,000 gold pieces to split amongst yourselves. Would that be an amenable sum?
Yes, I suppose.
Buy a lot of books with that.
The Tony. By the way, I think this is why D&D campaigns go on forever. Is because the act of having to close the story and remember what happened at the beginning is so terrifying that we just keep moving forward forever and just never look back.
Yep.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm. It's easier when the party just entirely dies, right?
It's way easier.
Wrapped up.
Peter, as a paladin and follower of Bahamut and a serious religious gentleman, approaches Rutherford and says, "We have one other thing that we must speak to you about. In this place, sometimes there is great evil, including ways that the dead can be turned into vile creatures that might resemble what they once were when alive, but they are not those people. I want to warn you that that is a possibility for your father, and if we find that your father is an undead monster of some sort, we will give him his eternal rest, and you need to understand that, because... we're not, you know, if your dad's a vampire, we're not going home with him. Okay? Got it? Clear?
You're not going home with him? I can't blame
him. Because there's sun up there and he doesn't like
it. Vampires aren't our type.
That's true. Well, maybe we can start a new life down here. Father and son vampires.
Then I'll need the proof that we found you and you can be father and son vampires.
There is an opening for a vampire lord in, you guys have really... turned, you know, there we, that position was filled and is now vacated.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Power vacuum.
Yeah.
Peter, is it Peter? Yes. I'm sure it won't come to that, but thank you so much for the warning.
Okay.
I get
to do what
really
I told
sure
you so
stuff.
Later, maybe. That's great.
Malik, do you want to give me a quick perception check?
Yes. Oh, I don't have my dice.
You're going to want those. All right. Those are going to be real clutch.
You're never far from dice with dice by PCalc.
That's not the... Not
this letter.
Perception. Oh, perception I'm bad at.
Okay.
Yeah, you are.
That was not a D20. That was a D2 dash. Seven.
Okay.
I rolled a 7.
Oh. All right. Malik, you are, you're just sitting there at the back of the room. You happen to be the one closest to the door, taking this all in. There's a momentary flash in your senses of a kind of brief smelling of wet dog when something horrible befalls you. It turns out there are other creatures coming into this this chamber, and a large dog-like bipedal creature attacks Malik in a surprise round.
I'm talking, said the dungeon master.
Yes.
I will send a fang of Yinogu after you.
Oh no. I rolled a critical. That's a bad start.
A very dramatic
critical
start.
Fail?
No, the other kind of critical. Mella, could you remind me what your armor class is?
11.
Okay. Well, I rolled this creature rolled 3 attacks, and it rolled a 25, a 14, and an 11.
Oh no.
All right. So a large dog-like bipedal creature. It's wearing kind of a raggedy hide armor shirt. It's got a lot of like bones on a necklace around it. It's got a weird kind of lappy tongue. Kind of comes out of the passageway, oblivious to all of you. In fact, perhaps Rutherford Umbrick is the only one to even see a moment of it since you're facing that direction, Rutherford. And this creature just comes out of the darkness and mauls Melek. So Melek, first off, you're going to take... So it's going to be 2 claw attacks and 1 bite attack. You are going to take... I'll give you the damages one by one in case you need to do anything. Just checking. Do you want to cast shield or anything?
If he's asking.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
What does shield do in your case at your level?
It gives me a +5. Wait, what were the numbers you rolled?
The numbers I rolled were 14, 11, and a critical success.
Then I will use shield. It will bring my armor class to 16.
So only one hit. Because I was worried I was about to kill Melek.
I'm fine. I got stuff.
All right. So Melek, a creature comes at you. You have a brief smell of wet dog, and it comes. It's clawing at you. You get your shield up. Its claw attacks tear at the magical shield around you, and then its horrible kind of hyena-like head pushes through the shield and just chomps on your shoulder. You are going to take... Ow. 15 piercing damage, and you need to take make a constitution saving throw to potentially take more poison damage. Oof. Well, to avoid taking more.
Ooh, I rolled very well. Constitution, 23.
All right, you do not take any poison damage. There is the sound of howling and kind of weird yipping laughter from the chambers beyond, and I'm going to suggest that all of you roll initiative,
there
because I am rolling initiative for my horrible monsters that are attacking you. These creatures are gnolls, which are these weird kind of hyena dog-like bipedal monsters that some of you might recognize.
That's a lot of them.
It does appear to be a lot of them. So it looks like the order is going to be, there's kind of, there's this pack. It looks like there's probably about 10 of them, of these wolf dog-like creatures. There's one that snuck up on Melek and seems to be kind of like the champion of the pack. It's a big hulking one, significantly bigger than the other ones around it. That null is going to go first, then Rizwin, then Melek, then Akrid, Peter, Olestrin, Flessa. The pack leaders are next. There's 2 pack leaders. This is a co-op situation here. And Rutherford Ermbrusk, and then most of the rest of the pack of gnolls is going to go after that. So 3 kinds
assistant.
Of gnolls.
Assistant to the pack leader.
Yeah, and it's clear there's the big hulking brute. There's probably the leaders hanging back. And then there's the foot soldiers, as it were, of which there are many. So that's your... Any questions about the types of gnolls you're dealing with here?
Grassy. When a gnome and a troll love each other very much.
That's a trome.
All right, so unfortunately, the gnoll champion is going to go first, who just went, and I think is basically going to do the same thing to Melek. Melek assured us that he's fine. Melek, I believe shield is still in effect?
Until the start of my next turn.
Okay, so that's not... Could be a lot worse. All right, you're gonna get 2 claw attacks, 1 bite attack. The bite is a 20. The claw. Wow, I rolled another critical for a claw attack, and a claw attack that is not gonna hit you is an 11. So, you'll take 6 piercing damage from the bite.
Okay.
Do another Constitution saving throw to see if you are taking poison damage from their filthy mouths. You are going to take, coincidence, 7 poison damage.
Oh, that will bring me below 0 hit points.
Oh!
Oh, no.
So, I am going to use this ability, Strength of the Grave. When damage that isn't ready... Oh, was this damage from a critical hit? Or was the later damage from a critical hit?
The later damage is about to be from a critical hit.
Okay. When damage that isn't radiant or from a critical hit reduces you to 0 hit points, you can make a charisma saving throw. On a success, you instead drop to 1 hit point and can't use this feature again until you finish a long rest.
I guess the downside is you are about to be hit by the next attack. So.
Yeah, but...
Yeah.
Still less.
I don't want it to be automatically failed death saves or anything.
Yep, that's true.
So I'm going to try to make a charisma saving throw.
Do it.
The DC is 5 plus the damage taken, and that damage was...
7.
So...
12 or higher?
12.
You're charismatic. You can do this.
I'm not. 10.
Okay. You drop to the ground. So this is exciting for the gnolls. Gnolls have an ability called Rampage. When a gnoll reduces a creature to 0 hit points on its turn, it can make a bonus action to move up to half its speed and take a bite attack. So I'm just checking here.
Does that mean it's done with me?
Yeah, it's done with you.
Wait.
Half its speed, though. How fast are these things?
And they can't all get there because the doorway, right?
Yeah, in fact, it looks like nobody else is, unfortunately, within half its speed. So it's going to, like, lunge in the direction of Flessa, but not quite get there. I'm just going to put a little skull and crossbones on Melek for now. All right, so your wizard has hit the ground.
Let the wizards hit the ground.
And
don't.
The gnoll is moving on to the next tasty treat, which is a rogue. Riswin, what a dramatic opening. You've found Rutherford. You've lost Melek. Everything is conserved.
Healing word is a bonus action, right?
Yes.
I think so. Yes, healing word is a bonus action.
Great. First off, I'm going to cast Guiding Bolt on the thing that just downed our mage. I guess I probably should cast that, not cast the damage.
You cast that, you can't do Healing Word because you can't cast two spells. Unless, is Guiding Bolt a cantrip?
No, it is not.
Okay. Because you can cast a cantrip and another spell, but you can't cast two spell slots.
Curses.
Spells.
All right. Then never mind on that. I can, however, cast Sacred Flame, which is a cantrip.
There you go.
And I believe it's a dexterity save of 15. Otherwise, take 9 damage, you gnoll thing.
The gnoll leaps off the ground. It's somewhat dexterous. It gets a 20. Kind of scampers and it howls at you. That's my little voice. I've been practicing that since never.
Then I will cast a second level version of Healing Word on our wizard because I would like him to come back and he gets 12 hit points back.
Nice.
Whoa. I rolled max. Yes.
All set, Riswin?
I am all set. I definitely do not want to move closer to these things.
All right, that was fortuitous. It is Melek's turn. Melek, you are on the ground, so if you want to stand up, that's half your movement, but you're no longer dying. You didn't have to make any death saving throws due to the speedy healing. There are approximately 8 or more other gnolls coming through the passageway right behind you. So you're now a frontline attacker.
Exciting. I'm going to cast Fireball.
Yeah! Oh,
okay.
I guess I'll stand up.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, what's the power move there? Fireball from the ground or it's a better angle from up.
No, it looks cooler to stand up and loom.
Yeah, you stand up and you throw it behind you. Yeah.
I'll target it like as you're running away here.
Melek, I think there's some vision issues in terms of I don't think you can probably see quite back there, but I'll let you drop it right on this cluster. Okay. All right, now you got them all. Yeah. You okay? Smart. So like you see that there are 10 gnolls coming through a tight passageway toward you, and you are going to set all of them on fire.
Yes.
This is going to be one of those things where I think I've developed a hard, possibly lethal encounter, and it goes
down.
It was
almost lethal to start with.
Yeah, before some people get a turn.
I'm sorry, I'm just collecting all the dice I need to roll.
Nice.
I think I'm going to have to roll a bunch of
music here.
Dexterity checks also.
All right, I'm rolling 86.
86.
Technically, we get to find out if it hits before you do that. But yes, they will take half damage on a miss. What is your spell save for fireball or slash all your spells?
15.
All right, here's what I'm going to do. I've got 10 nulls here. I'm going to roll 10 d20s. Their dexterity is all +2. So I got to roll a 13 or higher. Let me do the pack leaders first. So here's the two pack leaders. They survive. They're going to take half damage. Here's the eight. Here's the eight little guys. I'm a little bit more worried about.
Oh, I'm worried about them too. I hope they're okay.
Yeah.
Four of them succeed. Four of them fail.
One critically.
Yes. It may not matter depending on how much damage they take on a miss anyway. So,
30 damage, 15 on a failed save.
All right. 30 damage. All right. Four gnolls are incinerated.
Woo!
Four gnolls are badly wounded. I thought I brought enough gnolls to this fight.
Don't make my boss
never
mad.
Gnolls.
If they're grassy gnolls, they're probably on fire.
Don't bring a gnoll to a firefight. You should know that.
I have one square of movement left, and I will stagger backwards 5 feet. That should do it.
Perfect.
I am done.
I'm still subtracting health from all my gnolls. Give me a second.
Good.
It's going to take a little while. There's a lot of gnoll accounting here to do in this moment.
All right, I'll say that was a... Monty is giving us the steel curtain defense here with the fireball.
It's bringing the drama.
I'll say, Rutherford, it looks like you are getting your money's worth in that 6 seconds into this fight, you have seen a wizard get mauled and then rise from the dead and incinerate four gnolls. So, yeah.
We are showing our mettle.
Akrid, it is your turn. The hallway beyond is full of crispy gnolls. There's a gnoll champion in the chamber with all of you headed toward your accomplice, Flessa.
I want to get in front of Monty is really what I want to do. I'm going to get in front of Monty.
Thank you.
What's Akrid's speed?
30.
30, which is how far I just moved you.
That's 6 squares. That works. That's it. Yeah. And that avoids the knoll, too. Yeah. So that's good. Because you want to avoid the knoll.
Yeah. He'll mess up your pizza.
Also, yeah, that's right.
That's the worst.
Hit your pizza sub from Smurgle Sandwich Shop.
I'm always hungry.
I have a coupon for that.
You know, if you save this guy's life, you could get some venture capital.
Street team!
Yeah. I am going to acid breath them.
They just got set on fire.
Fire and acid, I think, go very well together.
All right. What happens with acid breath?
It's going to smell great in here.
Yeah.
So nice. I am going to do 2d6 damage of acid damage to a 5 by 30 feet line.
Do they get the chance to not get acided?
I would assume they could probably...
It's a deck save.
Way into another knoll. I don't know if they can move. They're kind of stuck. I think they're running around.
They could coat themselves with some substance that's a base and then neutralize her acid breath.
Mm. Roll around in milk or something.
There you go.
Flame is not a base.
Ah, yes.
Works
they
on
did,
hairspray too.
Did they bring knoll milk with them? they get to make a deck saving throw, someone said. Yep. How many of them are being targeted?
I'm going to do 5 by 30, so I'm going to try to hit the most. Let's see.
They are kind of spread out. I bet you can get two of them.
Two? Yeah. I'm sure I could get three in a line. No,
but it's a line from two. You is the tricky thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if you moved forward, you might be able to get three of them. Like, if you wanted to get right up in the face.
Can I can't move one any further minute? Forward.
Oh, that's
I'm
all
stuck. Speed. Yeah. I just all over them.
Love it.
All right. It's like my favorite cookbook, Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat.
Mm. All right. One dodges, one super does not dodge.
I do 9 points of damage.
The one that did super not dodge is dead.
Yay.
Oh, man, that's the one I wanted to shoot next time.
That's a barf. Oh, God. There are a lot of dead gnolls in this room now.
They're not really in this room. They're in the hallway.
There's a lot of dead gnolls that were thinking about coming into this room. So.
All right. I am going to... Tony, before I move, does this big gnoll that attacked Melek, does he seem super intimidating and scary?
He's the biggest gnoll you've ever seen.
It's also the only gnoll I've ever seen.
Well, he's much bigger than those other eight. Yeah.
All right. Well,
he's big, broad shoulders, kind of shaped like a Dorito. Smells like a wet dog.
All right. Well, Peter mutters a few words to himself.
Very top heavy.
And his sword emits bright light, as if charged with the glory of Bahamut. Mm-hmm. And then he attacks.
All right, so rush forward.
That was good stuff. And we're gonna attack. The beauty is that I am channeling divinity, which gives me a +4 to my attack rolls. Yeah, let's do that. That's not enough. Well, maybe it is. 16.
16 is enough.
No, 15. 16. 15.
15 is also amazingly enough.
15 is a good number. Well, that's excellent.
In 5th edition, level at the levels you guys are, 15 is a fine number. Quality number. A number to be
proud of. All right, good. That's good. And...
It's pretty good for you.
Yeah, sure. And 12 damage.
All right. The gnoll seems oblivious to that amount of damage.
Well, that's rude.
Well, he's a big, hulking, wet dog.
All right.
All set?
That's it.
Olestrin.
Yes. I'm going to take a few steps to the right so I can get a better look at all these gnolls I can see up at the north here. Let's see. So we're taking some liberties with the cliffs on this map. If I were to do something with some splash damage to this gnoll that's standing in the middle of a cliffside, is this co-pack leader to the back, to the northeast, is he...
He's 10 feet away. I don't know how big your splash is.
Well, it's 10 feet, but I'm just concerned about this little notch of a hill.
Yeah, you can do it fine. I just dropped him in the map there. Figure of the mind, Steven.
Beautiful. So I will knock up a... Firestorm arrow.
Oh, you still
That's
have
right.
those?
I still have them. That's right.
How many do you have left?
Well, you'll find out.
Okay. You count.
We
these,
bought those in a member
these?
Special I've that we did lot. Like 5 years ago. So
it's
that was
true. Yeah,
what a great member special it was. It's not that great, people. Save your money.
There's a dragon in it. What are you talking about? We go shopping and there's a dragon.
There's mainly shopping. I would not oversell that dragon. So...
You're bad at marketing, Tony. Bad at marketing. Come on.
I am bad at marketing.
Is this Kopak leader to the northeast visible to me from where I'm
standing? Yeah, let's say yes.
Okay, let's say yes. I'm going to shoot him with a firestorm arrow, but before I do that, I'm going to cast Hunter's Quarry to make that guy my quarry. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, which guy is your quarry?
The Kopak leader.
It doesn't have to be to nearest to you.
Northeast.
That was fourth edition.
I don't think so for Hunter's
okay.
Mark.
This is probably one of those
creature I can see within range.
Okay, I think this is one of those classic conversations we have when we play D&D every 3 months, where I question the basic premise of the rules, and you're like,
yes,
"No, it's the thing."
They keep changing
connect
things.
Connect be closest to him under fourth
yes.
edition.
Correct, but
I don't
here.
Like when things change, Monty.
Oh,
so
I don't like it when things change, Monty either.
To the Kopak leader with a firestorm arrow. Ooh, not a great roll. That is a 14.
14 will not hit a Kopak leader.
Rotten. That's a waste of a firestorm arrow. Fortunately, I can shoot another one.
Okay, I was going to say, don't you have some nonsense where you keep rolling attack rolls until
Always.
You get sick of you?
Every time.
Yep.
So we'll shoot yet another. Boy, I'm running out of firestorm arrows now. That's not good.
Mm. Yeah, we're never doing another New Members special again. Not with these characters.
All right, well, that one's a critical fail. So, great turn, everybody.
So much of the cavern beyond the gnolls is full of explosive fire now. The gnolls are intimidatingly backlit with flaming fire arrow energy. Honestly, yeah. This was basically just made the gnolls look spookier. Thanks, Alestrin.
And now I only have 14 Firestorm arrows left.
All right. Just hold on. Let me copy and paste these gnoll pack leaders 14 more times. Flessa, it's your turn.
Flessa's angry. I did not like seeing Melek go down like that. So I'm running up to this boss thing and yelling, "You hurt my boss!" And trying to attack it with my dagger plus one. I have a magic dagger. And because Peter is here, I get sneak attack if I hit.
Oh, question, Tony. Would a 15 have been good enough to hit?
It would have.
Mm. I should have noticed that my Firestorm arrows are plus one before we resolved all that. Mm. Oh, well.
Well, that if 14 is not enough to hit, then I'm afraid I don't hit.
There are different... Sorry, what did you say? What
I got
did you
a 14 on this guy.
So the gnoll champion is a big, hardy, slow-moving gnoll. So he is easier to hit than the other gnolls. So for those counting numbers at home, pack leader and junior gnolls, AC 15. Gnoll champion, AC 14.
Yay! All right, in that case, let's see. I will do... ...22 points of damage.
All right, that has gotten the Null Pack Leader's attention.
Uh-huh. And,
the Null Pack Leader is bloodied and snarls to turn at you.
I stick out my tongue at it. And use my bonus action to disengage.
Okay.
Actually, Erica?
Uh-huh?
You might want to stay there.
Oh?
And I say that only because, well, it's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
If that guy attacks you, it's with disadvantage because you're next to me.
Also, he would have disadvantage to attack
and
me.
And I get to attack
anyway.
If he tries to attack
okay.
you.
Okay, actually, you know, you're right, because I just remembered I am a... Oh, what is it? I have rakish audacity. I think that's it. Yeah. So it. Nope. I do have rakish audacity. That's not the thing that does this though. There's something that
that's,
he.
That's beside the point.
No,
I just wanted to let you know.
Yes, I have fancy footwork. So I made a melee attack against this guy. So. Oh, he can't make opportunity attacks against me, so I could have just run away, actually. But, no, I guess since Peter sort of gives me that look, it's like, stay put. I'm like, okay, I'm going to use my bonus action to attack with the other hand, because I have two weapon fighting, although I almost... Actually, I don't think I've ever used it before. But in my other hand is a vicious dagger.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
A shiny, very rarely used vicious dagger.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I throw it.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Sadly, I did not crit, because that would have been nice to do some extra damage. I only get my sneak attack once per turn, so this will be... Let's see. I also don't get my...
Modifiers.
Yeah. My modifiers, yep. So that's only an additional 2 points of damage, so it's not really all that exciting.
You have Inner Rage, the Null Fang of Unigar champion. Okay. All right, next up is the Null co-pack leaders. They were leading from the back of the group. The group has been thinned out a little bit, so they're going to kind of saunter in here.
Leading from the back.
Leading from the back. Alestrin style.
Leading from the back.
They look at their options and let's see here. They are going to... They have some bows that they thought they were going to hit you with, and they kind of... drop those for now and pull out glaives, which are these kind of long pole arm type weapons. And they are going to...
Pull out from where?
Well, from their backs. They have them like strapped to their backs. Okay. Zunk. They have these long... they have a reach of 10 feet. And they're thinking that 10 feet is a good range with which to attack a dragonborn. So they move in and are going to glaive attack on Akrid. First glaive attack... is a not very impressive 12. Second glaive attack is a also not super impressive 14. Akrid, what's your AC these days?
19.
All right. You are easily kind of just offhandedly like blocking them left and right. Rutherford Umbrus.
More like Gleam.
Rutherford Umbrus, you are in the throes of battle. It's, I don't know how that feels for you, seeing as you've been sitting in a chair for 6 months.
Rutherford, you know, does like gives a crack to all, his neck. He's inspired all by
all of
what,
your
what
muscles and joints sound like.
Oh, man,
you know.
I can't wait to see what Rutherford Umbrusk is going to do. Is he going to insult them? Is he going to offer them money? What's going to happen?
I think he hits people with a sword.
Rutherford Umbrus unsheathes a great sword from his back.
It's, okay.
It's all right.
We'll see.
Yeah. It's a great sword.
We'll see.
It says, you, I knew I picked the right companions, and he charges into battle against the big, he probably stumbles a little bit off the,
yeah.
You know, the legs, little, yeah. You know, little rusty.
Fless is like, we found you, under her breath.
The companions you picked are dead.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, this
Let's
guy is
not
exactly
worry
what
about
I expected.
That now. and is going to make a multi-attack against this big, scary gnoll that brings the heat, who I'm calling Nolan Ryan.
Mm.
And let's see here. That is
better than Nick Nolte. That's so.
Ooh. If I had P-Calc unmuted, I would have heard my own voice saying, critical hit!
Haunting.
Nice.
But yes, a critical on that first attack.
All right.
And I'll roll the next one.
And just not to dissuade people, you can turn Dan's voice off if you don't want to hear it. So don't let that scare you away from dice.
Who would do that?
That's fine. And then the second one was a 19. So I assume those
both hit.
So the first one will be, I have to roll a lot of dice for that. So the first one is 18, and then the second one is 10. So 28 damage.
All right. The null champion is still up, but is like kind of like staggering on his paws. It doesn't look like he's totally certain which way is. He is up. He may be uncertain of which direction is up. Anymore. He does not look. He looks unwell.
Ha ha! Says Rutherford.
Ha ha!
Take that, you fiendish wet dog!
That is very offensive in their language, which they don't speak your language, thankfully. So, Team Null is next. My super elite squad of Null fighters has been completely decimated by Melek and Akrid.
More
the
than.
Last two Null interns who are not smart enough to run away. I guess they kind of sheepishly move into the chamber a little bit. They
sheepish
think about,
is not
sheepish.
Good for a gnoll.
Yeah. They think about, do they want to, like...
They can't be left on the same side of the river with each other.
Like, do they want to run in and stab some of you people? I guess, yeah,
they
they're going
to... cluster together in a really easy fireball area.
Not...
One of them's gonna.
It's a group hug time.
One
yeah, they're a pack.
They're gonna go. Yeah, they're gonna attempt to do this. They have spears, and they really don't want to run up. It like they think about throwing them, but they're not very good at throwing spears. So they're gonna move up, and they're gonna kind of half-heartedly stab at Melek and Akrid with spears. Akrid, the junior gnoll, rolls a 6 to hit you with a spear. Yeah, and Melek, a not very experienced gnoll, rolls a 9 to attack you with a spear.
Miss. How hard can it be, dude? I'm right here.
Yeah, you didn't even dodge. He just kind of missed with where he stabbed.
He did say half-heartedly.
Yeah. They look like they would like to go home for the weekend, but their bosses are behind them blocking the door. All right. The Null Champion is up next. He is not doing well. He is surrounded by Rutherford Umbrusk, Peter Dragonforge, and Flessa. He's going to make possibly not the best decision, but a decision that is following his animal instincts, which is Flessa did a severe amount of damage to him, so he's going to go for Flessa. I don't know if that triggers things from
it
Peter.
It does. In fact, his attack is at disadvantage, and I get to do an attack on him.
Is that, I forget order of operations, does that happen before his attack or after?
So
it might matter.
It I use a reaction when they make an attack against a target other than me.
Anyone? Erica, Dan?
The attack has to get made. Okay. Because otherwise,
yeah. So I feel like the attack
reaction
goes off.
All right. Yeah. So yeah, it is going to use multi-attack, but you may kill it before it gets to do all of its attacks. Which attack will it do first? He'll start with a biting attack. That seems like a thing.
Right.
I'm rolling a bite attack with disadvantage on Flessa. I have rolled a 9.
Miss.
Snaps at Flessa's tiny little head.
Dodge,
Peter, Dragonforge, you
actually,
do
Peter
something.
Probably interposes a sword or something.
Yeah, it's my shield, actually.
Mm-hmm. He chomps on part of your shield.
Hey, Bahamut's on that, jerk.
And then you get to attack him?
Yeah. Does a 31 hit?
Yes.
He'll take 11 damage.
Please tell us how you slay this Null Champion.
Yay!
Well, I've got my sword out to protect Flessa from the bite, and that turns his head a little bit as he's trying to bite against the sword, or against the shield, and then I just run his sword right through his mouth and out the backside. That's it.
Oh, no. That's what he used for biting.
Mm-hmm.
Shishkinol.
The Null Champion hits the ground like a bag of wet dogs. This is probably the turning of the tide of battle.
Peter winks at Flessa, who got his body language earlier, and he's like, yeah,
yep.
Got it.
I would high-five you if I wasn't holding two daggers.
Yep.
Rizwin.
Paladin teachers!
Things seem a lot better now that the champion is dead. More than half the gnolls are slain. Only 6 gnolls? 5 gnolls? 5 gnolls are left, and 2 of them are... the least intimidating goals ever. Yeah. Suffering from a crisis of faith? You know?
Maybe, yeah. So I just remembered what that yellow glow around me means.
I wondered about that, too.
Mm-hmm. It means I have Spirit Guardians active, and I had it active for 10 minutes, and we were just in a giant fight, and Remove Curse doesn't require concentration. So
I think you still got a couple minutes.
I still got a couple minutes there. So I'm gonna move, I guess, towards the gnolls that my spirit guardians can go off and fight things.
So you, as your spirit guardians, you're basically kind of surrounded by not spooky ghosts, but like helpful ghosts, spirits that will attack your enemies for you.
Helpful spirits, yeah. And
a pack of Caspers.
Yeah. So
pretty ghosts.
My movement is only 25 feet.
Just the right spook, just the right boo.
So I can move right there. And
so a bunch of gnolls are now in your aura of Spirit Guardian.
Yeah. Can I actually move here without moving past this gnoll, or do I have to
I think so.
Yeah, no, you're good because you're still close enough for it.
Remember, fourth edition is more generous with basically as long as you fourth edition you couldn't really move around an enemy. Fifth edition, as long as you don't disengage from the enemy, you're fine. So.
Okay, cool.
That's not even an action, right? Because you had Spirit Guardians, so you've taken a move.
Yeah, and so you still have Spirit Guardians.
Does that trigger on your turn or their turns?
When the creature enters the area for the first time on a turn or starts its turn there. So it will be on their turns,
I
believe. Cool. They will take, they need to make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay.
And if I recall correctly, gnolls are not terribly wise.
No.
And on failed saves, they'll take 3d8 radiant damage.
Okay. Do you want to hit anything with your hammer or sacred flame while you're here?
You know, I really do. I think that's a great idea. I'm right next to this gnoll, and I think I might hit it with my hammer.
Okay.
I guess I don't really have Solinor's hammer anymore.
You can call it that.
Yeah.
I'm still going to call
just
it.
Just shout
that.
It.
I think you still yell it. Yeah, you still yell it. It just doesn't have a trademark symbol next to it anymore.
Great.
It's Grapthor's hammer now.
What a savings.
I hit it at 2. I'm not going to hit this thing.
Oh. So you swing your hammer in its direction. The gnoll who is focused on Melek somehow avoids it, but may die in the start of its turn from Spirit Guardians.
I swung it in its general direction. It's probably good enough. And how's Melek looking generally from, like, health-wise?
pretty bad.
Cool.
Like, bloodied for sure, but...
If that was a thing, right. 5e.
Well, you know, I'm going to cast Healing Word on you again.
Oh, thanks.
Big turn. Spirit Guardians, yeah. Attacks, Healing Words.
Yeah, you get 8 hit points back.
Thank you.
No problem. And I am done.
All right, Melek, you just got 8 hit points back. There are gnolls around you, including one in melee, which you probably don't love. What would you like to do?
What do you mean I don't love him? This gnoll is one of God's creatures and...
Which god? yes.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Actually, dog god of some sort. Wait, obviously.
I want to go to God. Dog
god. God dog. God
I will
heaven.
Turn to this gnoll and open my arms in a loving hug and attempt to shocking grasp him.
Just so we're clear, that the origin of gnolls traces back to a time when the demon lord Yanoga found his way to the material plane and ran amok. So they're really not God's creatures. The first gnolls were hyenas.
I rolled a 12 to hit.
A 12 does not hit even the most junior of gnolls.
Oh, well, that's a problem for me.
All right.
I'm going to move here.
So he's still engaged with that gnoll, but you kind of maneuver around it to hopefully get further away from the battle. All right, good choice.
Yeah. Akron, and that's it for me.
You are next. There are gnoll pack leaders around you with glaives. There's little gnolls with spears. I'm not sure what you will do.
I'm going to attack one of the gnoll pack leaders.
They are at range of 10 feet from you.
If I could move, I would move so that I could get closer to them.
You saunter closer.
Perfect. And I roll a 23.
That'll definitely hit. Do you want to start with the gnoll on the pack leader on the left or the one on the right? They are equally hurt.
I will do the one on the left.
All right.
And I do 9 points of damage.
The gnoll pack leader takes 9 points of damage and looks annoyed at you.
And I'm going to use an action surge to attack again.
Nice.
Okay.
I hit with a 24. And I do 8 points of damage.
All right, that gnoll pack leader on the left is now bloodied. It's looking a little unsteady. All right, all set, Akrid?
I'm done.
Peter's next, followed by Illustrian. Go for it, Peter.
All right, I'm going to run over to between Melek and Rizwin next to this gnoll.
This gnoll that's harassing Melek.
Mm-hmm. Melek, how many hit points down are you?
Right now I'm at 20 of 27 hit points, so I'm okay now.
All right.
He's got the color back.
I give you a little tap on your shoulder, like it's all good, and you receive 7 hit points.
Oh, thanks.
And
Paladins.
And Paladins, let's hear it. And then I attack the gnoll. 32 to hit because my sword's still glowing.
That's unnecessary.
And
that is literally twice what you needed to attack.
14 damage.
All right, Jason, you have killed another gnoll.
Yeah.
I hope you're happy.
Yeah, I say to myself quietly.
All done, Peter.
Can I break up my move? Is my move?
Yeah, you can.
I can move because I only moved like 3 squares there.
You could move 3 more squares, I think.
Indeed, I am. I'm going to move up here and just get in the way of these guys.
So I can't chase your tiefling around.
Yeah, exactly. And also, that gives me my protection on Akrid too, and anybody else who's within 5 feet of me who is attacked. By the way, that is, hey, everybody in the party, be close to Peter. Mm-hmm. He can protect you from attacks,
as long as he has a reaction.
Yep.
Yes.
Alestrin, you're next, followed by Flessa.
Okay. Well, I've switched back to non-firestorm arrows at this point, but I'm going to take aim at the pack leader who is still my quarry. Oof.
Steven.
Actually, that's pretty good. 17.
Okay, 17 will hit.
Good. Good.
He's your
that
quarry.
One too. Yes, he's also my quarry. Hang on. Dice everywhere. All right, so that will do 14 piercing damage plus an additional 4 for quarry damage.
18 damage. That null pack leader is bloodied and sad.
Okay, and since I have the Horde Breaker feature, I can make a weapon attack on the guy that's 5 feet from him, just behind him, the other gnoll. So,
just like arrow like going. Okay, it's not like the same arrow going through.
No,
the
it's a second one. It's
okay.
Yeah, it's
some sort of magic.
So many
arrow
attacks.
Back and to the left.
That's right. On the grassy knoll is where I'm shooting. 23
definitely hits.
And that will do. Oh, it's an 8, so that's 15 points of damage.
That poor apprentice gnoll goes down with an arrow in his eye.
Excellent. And I have one more attack, so...
Wow.
I will also take aim at the Kopak leader.
On the left.
You know, 5th edition hasn't stopped Alestrin one bit.
Darn right. I had to look for a really long time to find all of these stupid class features that would make me equally as annoying as I was in 4E. 17.
17 hits them.
Okay.
I had a turn where I just missed a guy, and then that was the end of my turn. Just saying.
Yep.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
So did I. Actually, I missed twice with Firestorm arrows that are valuable.
I only missed the one time.
So that's 15 damage on the other Kopak leader.
Oh, that Kopak leader is not doing well.
Okay. And I normally have a feature where I can just re-roll one of my damage dice. But I got an 8, an 8, and a 7 on my D8, so I'm not going to use that feature this time.
Why?
All right. Things are not looking
well.
But
I will still take the time to explain it.
Of course.
Just reserve the time
That's
for
right.
a later turn.
I believe I still have the floor, Senator.
Please yield your time, Senator from Beirut.
I am now out of time.
All right. Flessa, it is your turn. Things have not been well for the gnolls in these last couple turns. I have two pack leaders left who are badly, badly hurt. One gnoll who is badly hurt. So you have your choice of three different targets, all of which are severely wounded already in preparation for you.
All right. I'm going to come up here and attack the leader guy.
All right.
With a melee attack with my magic dagger. See if I can roll better that time. I did not, which means, I don't know, do I hit him with a 14?
You do not.
Okay. Well, I will try with the other hand then. And see if I can hit. That's a crit with my vicious dagger. Yay!
Okay. He somehow,
you've been a lefty this whole time.
Yeah, yeah. You left-handed stab him. It's possible you will kill him with your left hand, even with no modifiers.
Oh, well, I'm also doing sneak attack damage, so...
Oh, well, then this is academic.
Okay, so 3 plus 5 is 8, plus 6 is 14. Yeah, so...
That is 12 more damage enough than you needed to do. So tell us what happened to this pack leader of gnolls.
Well, I look like I'm fainting at it with my right hand in my magic dagger, and then out of nowhere, I just slice open its femoral artery with my other hand.
Oh, God. Okay. well, Flessa, if you're all done, the gnoll now promoted to pack leader goes next.
Finally.
The gnoll pack leader seems both mixed emotions about the situation, seeing as he is now no longer must share command of the pack with his associate there, but also... Technically, is it a pack when there's only two gnolls left? The gnoll.
It's a couple.
Yeah.
A couple of gnolls.
Yeah. And honestly, he's not very invested in that last gnoll that's
pack
left. Glaive attack on Akrid.
Disadvantage.
Well, 8 to hit. Do you impose disadvantage on all attacks or just the first one?
When a creature within 5 feet, while wielding a shield, a creature you can see attacks a target other than you within 5 feet, you can use your reaction. Doesn't limit it.
So once.
Once.
Reaction. Okay, reaction. Once. All right. Well, then right. There. I react.
All right. You react. The creature has multi-attack, so it can do it again.
Boo. I react anyway.
Yeah.
Stop.
Stop that. Akrid, I think a 20 will hit you.
A 20 will hit me.
You get hit with a glaive for 8 damage. And it is Rutherford's Umbra's turn.
Rutherford will pick his way past all these other people. Oh, excuse me. Sorry, coming through. And just bring his greatsword down a couple times on that knoll. Right there.
All right, it may not take more than one, just to be clear.
All right, well, you know, these things happen. This is plus five. It's a 22.
That'll hit.
I like this guy. He gets involved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
13 damage.
All right, that you slay another junior gnoll, just trying to work his way up in the gnoll pack hierarchy.
Can I continue my move and use second primary multi-attack, or you have to use all the multi-attack?
I think multi-attack, I can't move. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, because multi-attack is an action.
Yeah. All right, so that's the best I can do.
All right.
That's pretty good, though.
The gnolls would be next if somebody hadn't just killed them all. The gnoll champion would be next if somebody hadn't just killed them all. Rizwin, do you want to attack the gnoll pack leader?
You know, sure. I can't actually use my spirit guardians because y'all killed all the
gnolls.
Yeah,
somebody murdered everybody inside your spirit guardian circle.
Aww.
So, you know what? Heck, I'm just going to sacred flame this guy.
All right. Do I roll a dex save?
Yes.
I have managed to roll a 19. Good job, pack leader.
Good job, pack leader.
Yes, no pack.
He lives Melek. For one more turn.
I would like to cast Firebolt.
All right. Do I do something?
No.
You could die.
Me?
You tell me if a 24 hits.
Well, no, the gnoll.
Okay. A 24 definitely hits. Roll damage.
All right. Oh, we're level 5, aren't we? Look, it's 2d10 instead of 1d10. Ooh. 15 points.
The gnoll pack leader has one hit point left. Akrid?
Who's going to take it?
Not for long.
I plan on trying to kill him. But I don't.
Best laid plans. Of
Peter.
Truly, I could have just headbutted him and killed him, yeah. But...
You should get 2 attacks, though. Right?
Oh, do I get 2 attacks?
Because you're a fighter, and you're level 5.
I am a fighter.
So
oh, well then,
to attack
extra attack.
Mm-hmm. Well, then I will hit him and kill him.
Yay! All right.
Great.
You have defeated the gnolls. They lie dead at your various feet. That's why they are defeated. You are free to move around the cavern. I guess we
search the gnolls?
You can search the gnolls.
You are free to move around.
I will tell you.
Please put your gnolls in their upright and locked positions.
The gnolls, now, you know, I don't know how much we got into this, but gnolls are these creatures that have kind of evolved from hyenas. They travel in packs. They have a lot of kind of makeshift armor and weapons. They are not what you would say kind of keepers of things of value. So these gnolls are really a lot of stuff. They've got one, you open the first gnoll pocket and it's like a bunch of teeth fall out of it.
It's just a whole bunch of old slippers that have been chewed on and a couple of tennis balls.
Couple newspapers. Yeah, it's one squeaky toy doesn't squeak anymore. So it's, it's, I'm just saying these were not rich gnolls, if that's, you know. These are not the gnolls of Beverly Hill. These are, yeah. So their items of value are limited.
Well, Rutherford Umbrusk is going to resheathe his greatsword, look around and say, ah, well, I can tell that you are the right people for this job in helping me find my father. So now that we've dealt with these pesky creatures, onward.
Don't you have to sign something first?
I will need my lawyer to consult on anything.
Okay, then let's go back up to the surface and we'll find your lawyer and then we'll go back
I want to find out what kind of sucker has been hired as a lawyer for Rutherford Umbrusk.
It was Czar.
Yeah.
I feel like it's Rutherford, he just like ducks down and then puts on like another hat and comes back, I am Rutherford Umbrusk's lawyer.
That explains a lot about Czar. He was a small town country lawyer. Who needs healing? Yeah. Question.
Yeah,
because I still got 14 good berries in my pouch. Some of them
touch
are
of healing.
Totally covered in hair.
I'm missing 8.
I could use a good berry or 5.
Welcome to good
and,
berry.
And Melek, are you still under the weather?
I am at 100%.
Back up to
never
full.
Felt better.
Nice. Okay, well, each of you get 7 if you need them.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You bet. Now I got no good berries.
Good.
Cast it tomorrow.
They're all
I
bad
eat
berries.
Some and I try to give some to Josephine.
Who's Josephine?
Egg?
My chicken.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the chicken.
Oh, the chicken.
The one that we didn't kill.
Well, maybe you might have.
She's resting. Actually. She's resting.
You tried to give a good berry to your dead chicken. That is the saddest thing I've ever experienced in D&D.
Could you bring it back?
Does the chicken go to one hit point?
It's still dead, but it has a whole day's worth of food.
It would only cost like 500 gold pieces to resurrect that chicken. 1,000 if you wait a year.
That's where I'm going to be using this.
A person?
Dan, it's the same spell. You don't. It's not like the spell is.
It's not like a resurrect chickens.
Resurrect animals. I want it like it's like prorated or
no. It doesn't. It's not like it operates on like weight. It's not like.
I don't know.
I should get a discount.
Like, you know, magic?
No. I mean, if you resurrect like a yeah, no. It's one. It's either a soul or it's not a soul. Do chickens have souls? We don't know. Chickens in Dungeons and Dragons. That's part of world building. We'll find out later.
Peter turns to Rutherford and says, "So, where is your father? How do we find him?"
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Tony, how do I find
him? Well, Rutherford, you felt that you were certainly near him. You knew that he had passed through that sigil, and he even in a dream gave you the password that you were able to use mm-hmm. to pass into this kind of sealed off section of Undermountain. So he must be here. I think this is probably the first hallway that you wandered down. You know that when you first entered this area, passing through the sigil, there were a set of three hallways, and you just more or less arbitrarily chose the right one. Adventurers, Dragonforge, and Associates, you have now mapped out the right and more or less the central one. There was a room full of chickens that you didn't fully map, but seemed there was not an obvious exit to the chicken dungeon. So there is an unexplored passage.
There was nobody
to the
in
left.
There but those chickens anyway. Mm.
There is a not fully explored tunnel to the left, or if you are slightly more fantasy inclined, west.
So well, I know he's somewhere in this area. I'm very confident of that fact, and I think that there were a couple more corridors right back at the entrance where we came in, and perhaps if this was not the correct one, and that dastardly chair tells me that it was not, perhaps he's in one of those.
Well, hopefully he wasn't turned in stone by a cockatrice.
That is a danger we must all face in our lives, to be sure, but I hope so as well.
That's like a metaphor, right?
Totally.
Can you send your...
You have some strange sayings.
Can you send your kids dreams when you're a statue?
I think this is a serious discussion that we'll have to sit down and consider, perhaps when we have more time.
Deep philosophical questions.
So shall we tramp back over to the entrance there?
Yeah, sure. This seems like the end of the road here. This is the this.
All right.
Yeah, was there anything else in that room besides the chairs that froze you chairs. For chairs. Months?
Nope, that was it.
I don't know what you want from me.
That's a terrible
things.
Room. Who made that room?
Halaster Darkcloak, Blackcloak, the wizard that built all of Undermountain, who was
that guy's the worst.
Unwell.
It's a sitting room.
How do we know one of the chairs doesn't make us like Constitution 18 or something?
Yeah, you don't know.
Try all
you know is that one chair freezes you and requires you to use a remove curse to get you out. Also, you're not just frozen. You say doom over and over again for at least 6 months. We haven't tested beyond that.
I'm out of remove curses for today.
Yeah. The good news is you have no memory of it once you're freed from it. Yeah. So it's really not that bad.
Huh.
All of your joints hurt, Rutherford.
All right, I'm bored. Can we leave?
What about long
maybe one of these
chair.
Chairs resurrects dead chickens.
Ooh.
You want to put a chicken in the chair?
I mean, I put chickens in worse things.
Mm-hmm.
Like your mouth.
Oh, let's just move along.
You are free to do whatever. This is an adventure we create together where you do dumb things to chairs.
Rutherford is going to stride boldly. Through this whole corridor.
All right, Rutherford, head north all by himself through caverns full of treacherous dangers.
Wait, slow down, dummy.
Oh no, our meal ticket.
Yeah.
All
right, come on.
You head
keep up. We follow
north through the caverns that was being excavated and maintained by the robot scorpion Scaladars. You turn and head west through the mirrored Hall of Mirrors, where mirrored images of yourself continue to mock and jeer at you, but they can't do much now that you figured out how to bypass them and arrive
and
at the
back.
Central lobby of this area. Pillars, strange chalk markings on the floor indicating which passageways are safe and which are not.
So you have explored some of these, it sounds like. Should we go south or west? I'll trust your expertise since I only made it to that room with the thrones before I was tired.
I asked Josephine, which way should we go, little Josephine?
I thought yes.
Roll animal handling.
9, I make it.
Okay, interesting. You feel good about West. I've lost control. What am I going to say?
Rutherford leans over to Peter and is like, the chicken, she knows it's dead, right?
Oh, yes.
Okay. West sounds wonderful. Let's go west.
All right. I believe somebody had poked their head into the chamber to the west before and then decided it looked awful and didn't want to deal with it. Who will lead the way this time?
Well, Rutherford if nobody else will.
I mean, Fless is like creeping forward.
He'll like push those doors open, Rutherford, like, you know, like Aragorn style.
I like this guy.
You know? Rutherford, you push the doors open. This area beyond looks like it has not been well maintained. It looks like the ceiling is kind of collapsing and the floor is covered with thick cobwebs and rubble, probably from the that used to be parts of the ceiling. There's huge cracks in the cavern, in the chamber ceiling, you know, darkness beyond. You may not have complete view of the whole chamber, but for the purposes of roll 20, you can see that there is a set of heavy stone doors on the southern side of that chamber. Lots of cobwebs and rubble between you and the door.
Well, Rutherford will walk up to the edge here and do one of these, like, you know, he's like, well, with a little paint, I suppose. I don't know. I'm thinking about going into real estate. Once we find my father and go back up to the surface, of course. I hear there's a lot of money in it. Like, we could flip these caverns.
It's certainly not a thing that has ever been attempted in Undermountain.
All right. Does anything happen when I step into this main room here?
No, it's a bit treacherous. You know, the floor seems relatively structurally sound, but there's just so much debris from the ceiling that you're kind of having to pick your way over, you know, rocks and kind of furnished stone that has been come apart in big chunks. And there do seem to be, especially in the corners of the chambers, thick webs that have built up. Rutherford, give me a quick perception check.
Should we be letting him go in front?
I don't know.
What's our meal ticket?
Yeah, I don't know. Again, there's that whole...
Why did it have to be webs?
Yeah. Rutherford, give me a quick perception check.
Perception. Oh, good. I have 0 bonuses.
I feel like Alestrin's going to give a quick perception check as well, since webs would immediately...
Rutherford rolled a 1.
Attract his eye.
And is like, great, everything is
Rutherford,
fine.
Rutherford, everything seems safe. Alestrin, you're a ranger. You have better eyes.
25.
Alestrin, you see those webs and you know what webs mean. Webs of these size do not collect on their own. There's also all kinds of cracks and crevices in the ceiling above you.
Oh, jeez.
You know that some of these webs are fresh webs.
Ooh, fresh webs.
Yeah. Perhaps we should go south.
Why?
Spiders.
Oh. I turn to the new guy and say, Alestrin doesn't like spiders.
Oh, spiders. They're just itty bitty little creatures. They do you no harm.
Dude, you gotta get out more.
I mean, he was a rich noble.
I've dealt with many spiders in my home back at Urmbrusk Estates.
Lived a sheltered existence, and, you know, his first adventure lasted about a day and a half before he got stuck on the throne.
The key is you get a stein and a piece of paper, and you slide the paper underneath it and put the stein down on top of them.
He must have some really big steins.
Yes, well, Urmbrusk Manor is known for its steins.
Can I creep forward toward the door to the south without touching any webs and being quiet?
Can you creep forward toward the door to the south without touching any webs and being silent? You can with an acrobatics check.
Okay.
And a stealth check.
Okay.
You know what? I'm going to try something here.
Are you going to try this before Flessa does this thing?
Yeah, if Flessa doesn't mind. If Flessa hasn't already taken off.
No.
I have a spell called Pass Without Trace that will give everybody in the party a +10 bonus on stealth checks.
Ooh.
So I feel like if I cast that on us, we might be able to sort of sneak through the room without attracting any ready attention.
I like it. Works for me.
If everybody agrees with that.
Sure.
All right. I don't hear anybody saying no. So I cast Pass Without Trace. A veil of shadows and silence radiates from me and my companions for up to an hour. While I maintain concentration, each creature within 30 feet of me, including me, that I choose, has a plus 10 bonus to stealth checks.
Nice.
And can't be tracked except by magical means.
This is very impressive, good ranger.
Shh.
All right, so my acrobatics check was a 14, and my stealth check, let's see. What was plus 10?
Yeah.
You said?
Yes.
36.
All right. You silently traipse across the room, scrambling over bits of rubble and parkouring off of old stone masonry, and arrive at the ancient stone doors on the far side of the chamber. There is a thick layer of dust on these doors, Flessa, as if they have not been opened in some time.
I listen to the door and I get a and look at it. It's a 19 perception.
It is silent beyond. Silent as a grave.
But possibly deadly.
Or a very, very quiet rave.
Like a, maybe a library.
All right. Now I'm basically flipping a coin to see if I remember to check for traps. We'll say Evan says, yes, I do. Nope. I slowly try to open the door.
All right. You open the door. There is a short hallway beyond.
Quietly.
Opening into a larger chamber that you can see at the end of the hallway.
I turn back to everybody and I go, make the shushing motion and wave people in, and I will step across the threshold.
All right.
Quietly.
Okay. Do we all need to roll stealth, Tony?
Yes. Please roll stealth. You have plus 10 in addition to whatever your normal bonus was from all.
Rutherford got a 15, and we'll try to pick his way across.
Yep.
Apparently, chainmail gives me disadvantage.
It does.
He stealth checks.
But you still get the plus 10.
18.
26.
All right.
Quietly. Also 18.
30
since
for
I rolled a 1.
27.
Can I see any farther into here?
Yeah.
And
all right. 27 is my lowest.
Okay.
And whoa. So when Peter gets to that threshold, I'm going to use this as an opportunity to use my divine sense. And sense anything affected by the hallow spell and know the location of any celestial fiend undead within 60 feet.
That's not behind total cover.
That's not behind total cover. I'm turning on the creep sense, just in case.
All right.
Tony.
Beep, 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 you are getting, I will tell you, Peter, you're not getting anything in direct view, but there's a lot of background creep radiation coming from this room. Rizwan, I'm just going to move your token over here.
I turn to my compatriots and I say, bad things are near.
So the little hallway
beyond
the door.
When has that ever not been the case, Peter?
the evil kind of bad thing, the fiendish.
In his basement.
Again.
So you are in a strange kind of ornate chamber here. It's a big square chamber, and there's kind of a large steel structure in the middle of it. The map isn't totally illustrative, but it's the best I could create. It's kind of a hexagonal shaped metal box. The lid is carved to depict a fierce warrior in heavy armor holding a cruel looking sword. The warrior's shield has some kind of symbol on it. Flessa, you might notice scattered around the room, there are 6 daggers. there are some statues on the far side of the chamber that look like they've seen better days, have been worn down by the elements. There's these large pits to either side of the door from which you entered that look like they basically are full of... I guess kind of the remains of fires that have long since burned. So they're all scorched. There's kind of burnt up bits of wood and stuff in there that are blackened with soot. There's also 2 flanking the hexagonal metal box. 2 vessels held up by holders that look like hands that, you know, unsure what's in those yet.
Background radiation? Vessels? Are we in Alameda?
Important question that's going to determine if Flessa is already in motion. Are the daggers that are lying around shiny?
Are the daggers lying around shiny?
Or are they just rusty old daggers?
I would say they're somewhat rusty looking.
Okay, then Flessa is not already in motion.
Good news.
So that's what you see. There is also another set of doors on the far side of the chamber leading further south.
Well, if no one's stopping Rutherford Umbrisk, he's going to stride through towards... So is this metal thing is... Is it like a raised thing? Is it a flat thing? Okay.
It's a big... And what? You know, I called it hexagonal. You might interpret that as like a coffin-shaped tomb.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Oh, so it's much larger than I was envisioning.
No, it's a big, large, ornate metal coffin. It's got like kind of a life-size depiction of a warrior worked onto the cover.
I say to Rutherford, "Is that your dad?"
Is it my dad?
We thought found him.
Roll history check.
Was your father a hexagonal metal box?
It does not. It
was a rolling stone.
It was a magical world of fantasy. It could be.
I'm half hexagonal. I'm a triangle?
Is that everybody roll a history check? Or?
I'm at least going to start with Rutherford.
All right. I have no intelligence. Critical. Yeah. Great. Glad I used it on that.
Well, yeah. Even with a generous artistic liberties, the image on the cover does not seem to be, does not look like your father. And in fact, the imagery around him is not of the House of Umbrus or anything. And since you rolled a critical, I will tell you, Rutherford Umbrus, that you recognize that the iconography on this metal box is in fact various iconography. The shield depicts an armored fist. These are symbols of the god of Bane. Bane, the god of fear, hatred, and tyranny.
So Umbrus will look down, look back at Flessa, and go,
I knew that was coming.
Worst.
Always.
And then that perhaps that there is some kind of champion of
Bane. So your prediction
Bane.
Was Bane.
Yep. Good. Champion of Bane entombed here.
Rutherford will look back over his shoulder over Flessa and just go, "Nope, that's Bane," and then just keep
walking
towards
him,
the door.
It's one of his.
He doesn't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
I turn over my shoulder and look at Melek. And should I follow him? Can I go? I know I'm not supposed to walk into rooms without permission.
Yeah.
Okay.
It might occur
walk into the room. Don't pick up any knives, please.
It might occur to a Dragonforge and associate that perhaps he'd buried in the tomb of a champion of Bane. There could be items of valuable, or there could also be a horrible undead warrior, or both.
Probably both. Probably.
Given Peter's findings in this room, I'm going to suggest that we just move on.
All right.
Yeah.
Flessa, as you pass by these strange vessels being held up by these kind of hand-shaped pedestals, they look empty, though they look like they have been stained from bloodletting in the past.
Gross.
So it seems like this strange kind of temple tomb of a Bane has not been in use anytime recently.
Does my background radiation detector set off anything sort of as I go past the thing?
You don't feel great about that. About the coffin, the tomb,
okay.
Box.
I don't. I mean, here's a paladin question. I mean, if there's an undead, but they're in a tomb, is that a problem? I mean, they're entombed.
Yeah.
Problem solved.
I would say
they're untombed.
I would say if there's no evidence that this is a place where they come and go and are causing trouble elsewhere, but are more or less have been resting here for a very long time.
There's a lot of dust.
We would say leave them where they lay.
Yeah. Feels like it could cause more problems by interfering.
Yeah. Flessa, the daggers are all rusty and speckled with dried blood.
All right, then I'm less disappointed that Melek told me not to pick any of them up.
Is it a sparkly speckle of dried blood?
No, pretty pretty dull sparkle.
No sparkly speckles.
Dull speckle.
What about these ancient statues? I am looking very closely at the statues as they go past.
They are ancient. They look like they might have been very artistic depictions of Bane.
Oh, okay.
Who is usually depicted as like a fierce warrior, sometimes kind of a devilish image.
Well, Rutherford's going to go down to those doors and check them out if there's...
All right, another set of similar stone doors to the south, completely dusty.
Are these stone doors single or...
These are the good...
I haven't asked them.
Double doors.
Double doors.
Double
doors. Nothing but the best for you all as I build my maps. Oh, I forgot. Hold on. I realized something that I can do that I totally forgot I can do in... I forgot to animate the doors.
We can't see them open.
Rutherford, do you want to open these doors?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I don't know if that's what they sound like, but
nope, they are. Yeah. beyond.
Fancy.
Just like Dumbledore.
There does seem to be a chamber beyond, but blocking most of your vision is there is a cloud of purple smoke. Fully blocking the passageway. No, this is a little more condensed than that. Just floor to ceiling, purple mist. There's kind of like a wall of it.
Does that look familiar to any of us? I'm trying to remember which campaigns had a wall of purple mist and which ones didn't.
I think that may have been something you did in college, Erica. I can't speak for
likely.
I'm going to cast light on a coin and toss it into the mist.
The mist is thick enough that it obscures the coin. Maybe you get a little bit of a... I mean, it's not solid. It's a gas, right? So maybe you can barely see the light of the coin beyond.
Well, the Urmbrusk motto is, let's make mistakes, so I'm going in.
Oh, God.
That's a terrible motto.
Yeah.
I closed the door behind him.
We've been workshopping new ones.
Yeah. And Rutherford Umbrusk.
You would not believe how expensive it is to commission a motto.
Rutherford,
all the good ones are already taken.
Rutherford Umbrusk is entombed here in the Room of Mists. You guys forgot to get his wallet or something that you could return as proof of his fate.
I was trying to get him to sign something, but nobody was backing me up. So
yeah.
I was
like, all
right. We'll tell him about the puns and they'll understand.
Yeah.
We had to let him die.
It was Rutherford.
If I get closer to the mist, does anything happen?
You approach the mist, nothing happens. The mist does seem to be, I mean, it's strange. There is like a wall of it. It's not diffusing into the room that you have, you know, opened up. It doesn't react to your presence, but it is like you are, you know, a foot away.
What if I put my hand like into it?
You know, your hand sinks into the mist. It feels a little tingly. But, you know, yeah, so you are able to move into the mist. But it does not, you're not really like... It's very strange. It does not seem to be operating in a way that you are conventionally used to mist or other forms of gases operating.
Rutherford definitely looks trepidatious, but he sort of like steals himself and like nods and takes a deep breath and looks around behind him and says, I appreciate you having come with me this far, but if you do not wish to go any further, I cannot begrudge you that, but I must continue to find my father if there is any hope that he might be beyond this.
If you walk through and something hurts, will you scream really loud so we know?
He sort of like leans over to Flessa and says, I can assure you of that.
Also, if nothing hurts and you're fine, shout that too. That also sounds useful.
Oh yeah, good
but
idea.
Don't shout it in a screamy way.
But I have to distinguish those two. Yes, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
I'm going to pickpocket something from him before he goes.
He will definitely not notice.
Oh,
that.
Okay.
Then I will. Like a signet ring or something you could just slide off his hand.
Monogrammed handkerchief.
I don't know. Mm. It's only a 12. It's only a 12 sleight of hand, but he seems pretty intent on what he's doing. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, right. There's literally no way he will notice getting pickpocketed. Okay. All right, Tony Rutherford disappears.
All right, Flessa, you've taken his friendship bracelet. Rutherford, you head
from Czar.
Yeah. You head into the mist. It is dark and thick and kind of cloying all around you. You keep moving forward, and beyond the mist seems to be some kind of discarded office or library. There's some tables and chairs. There's lots of shelves of old books and scrolls. Everything is a mess. It looks like a lot of the stuff that should have been on the tables or on the bookshelves has been deposited on the floor here. It's a bit chaotic.
I'm listening very intently.
I will try to yell back through the clouds going, It's okay, Dan, it's just books.
As you go to speak, a tendril of mist kind of lashes out and swirls about your head, and some of it goes down your throat.
Do I hear a choking sound?
It has a delicious lemon-lime flavor.
It has a delicious...
Turns out it's Sierra mist.
It's like purple Dimetapp.
It has a delicious lemon-lime flavor like purple Dimetapp. And, you know, and you kind of choke it down. There doesn't seem to be any physical ill effect. But then when you go to speak, you find yourself unable to speak.
Ooh.
Well, this is an improvement.
Yeah, he's... He's really conflicted because he can't do either of the things he was supposed to do now.
Yep. The rest of you, meanwhile, the rest of you are waiting around in a Tomb of Bane. Probably not your ideal thing. A little bit of time has passed and you have not heard anything from the other side of the smoke cloud.
All right, let's go home.
I look at my bosses. What now?
Melik, is there anything you could do to maybe blow the smoke away?
I've got one thing I could try. I will walk all the way up to it. Now, this might not work.
Technically a thing that all of you should say in front of everything you say.
I will spread my hands out and bring them together hard and cast Thunderclap.
Is that like Thunder Wave?
It's like Thunder Wave, but it's Thunder Clap, which is a
cantrip. A different word.
Oh.
That's going to make a lot of noise.
Yeah, it's a burst of thunderous sound that can be heard up to 100 feet away. Each creature within 5 feet of me would have to succeed in a constitution saving throw, but there isn't anyone like that.
Alestrin would like to slide back and close the doors behind us into the spider room if we're going to do this.
Hold on. I'll animate that for you. Click, click.
Slam.
No expense is spared.
I would like to use thaumaturgy to open that door and then close that door and then open that door and then close that door.
All right, done.
So did Thunderclap do anything?
Thunderclap did not seem to do anything. The cloud does not react in the normal ways that you would expect. It seems like it is magical in origin.
Oh, can I use an arcana check to examine it since I'm up close to it?
Mm-hmm. Please do.
16.
16. You study it. It's definitely arcane in nature, and it doesn't seem to adhere to the normal principles of physics that you would expect for any kind of gaseous cloud. You are not sure exactly what it is, but it seems like it may have been some kind of trap that misfired. You don't think it would be a good idea to breathe any of it in.
I don't think it would be a good idea to breathe this.
Does he think that if we kept held our breath through it, we'd be okay?
Yeah, probably.
I'm going to hold my breath. I'm going to say, this is me talking, not me acting.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold my breath and walk into it.
All right.
Now this is me describing my actions. I'm going to hold my breath and walk into it.
Thank you, Melik. Melik, you stride through the smoke cloud. I assume that you don't want to live in the smoke cloud forever. And
correct.
You arrive in the strange kind of ransacked library beyond. Rutherford Umbrus is there.
Very close.
He waves at you.
Remember,
people, it's a podcast. As you say, hey, how's it going? A tendril of purple smoke. Or purple? What? Yes, purple.
Yep.
Wisps out, spirals around your horns, and a little bit of it goes down your throat, and you just you say, you get the H of hey out, and that's it.
My verbal components.
Rutherford gestures and sort of shrugs.
Rizwin, Peter, Flessa, Akrit, Alestrin. Oh, well, okay. Melek heads back out.
Rutherford waves disparagingly. Yeah, bye.
Melek is standing by the cloud of smoke looking at all
What's
of
up,
you.
Boss?
I wave. Try to say something.
Does not
shrug,
work.
Shrug. Point at my mouth and this cloud.
He wants you to put more smoke in him.
And then wave for them to come on. And hold my breath and walk back through the cloud.
All right, I hold my breath.
Yep.
And follow him through the cloud.
All right.
And I keep my mouth shut.
All right. So our adventurers push through a cloud of purple smoke, a purple smoke that robs you of the very ability to speak. Will they be able to coordinate their efforts in finding the lost Umbrusque father, or will they finally stop making puns? For answers to questions such as these, tune in next time to Total Party Kill.